Welcome to Get Your Spirit in Shape, United Methodist Communications and UMC.org's podcast to help us keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. I'm Joe Iovino. Before we get started today, I want to share a little bit of news. Get Your Spirit in Shape is now on Spotify. So if you get most of your podcasts there, or you know friends who do, just open the app or the website and search for us and subscribe. If you're not a Spotify listener, did you know you can also just tell Google or Siri to subscribe to Get Your Spirit in Shape, and they'll do it for you. It's just that easy. In today's episode, I get to introduce you to Carl Anders Ellingsen, the editor of the magazine of the United Methodist Church in Norway. I met Carl over lunch when he was visiting United Methodist Communications here in Nashville, Tennessee, and I quickly knew I wanted to have him on the podcast to talk about United Methodism in Norway, and was so glad he agreed. Along the way, we talk about grace, evangelism, why he's proud to be a United Methodist, and how he stays in constant conversation with God. I loved meeting Carl, and I think you will too. Enjoy. I am in the studio today with Carl Anders Ellingsen of the United Methodist Church in Norway. Carl, welcome to Get Your Spirit in Shape.
Thank you.
How'd I do with your name?
Very good. I'm impressed.
Thank you. Thank you. Tell me about your job, the things that you do for the United Methodist Church in Norway.
Yeah. I'm the editor of annual conference magazine, which is called in Norwegian, The Bridge Builder. Or that's in English. And then I'm the editor for the website and the social media, which is mainly Facebook. We use that a lot in Norway. I'm the only one, so I'm the journalist, photographer, and I do the InDesign, Photoshop job and everything. So everything.
Wow, you're a one-man show.
Yeah. We're not that many in Norway, so that's how it is.
Yeah. Tell me, what is the name of the magazine? If you say it
in Norwegian. Yeah. Brobyggeren.
Okay. I'm not even going to try that.
No, I understand.
But so bridge builder.
It's from our our identity. It's trying to be, the church sees itself as a bridge builder between people and God, and between also as an ecumenical sense, between the churches. We are very ecumenical minded in Norway, so we try to participate everywhere.
I don't know a lot about the church in Norway, so can you help me kind of understand what the landscape is like as an ecumenical body?
Norway is like a lot of Europe, and especially Northern Europe, we're a very atheist community, so it's gotten stronger and stronger. Mm. And we have a state church from the old times when the king was head of the Lutheran church, but that's been loosened a lot. But we live in the shadow of the Lutheran church. We come from the Methodism came from United States, not from New York, so, and not from England. Mm. So that's why we also have the connection to United States.
Yeah. And where's the United Methodist Church kind of find its...
All along the coast, mainly, in towns. So we have like 46 congregations, and we have a total, I think it's 12,000 now. But that's also with Baptists, and, it's active. Full members is around 5,000.
But as the person who does some of the reporting and gets things on the web and in the magazine... You must run into some really exciting stories of things that are happening in churches in Norway. Any come to mind?
I usually say that I have the best job in the Methodist Church in Norway, because whenever something's happening, I'm there. When it was a festival or the annual conference or anything, I'm there. Yeah. And if people are excited and they want to share something, who do they call? They call me. So I get to meet people that's fired up and have something they want to tell. And that's a privilege. And when you are able to give them a voice, to be seen, that's a blessing. And you get to meet those people and they confide in you. And they trust you to deliver their story in a respectful and good manner. Mm. That means a lot. Yeah. Means a lot. I went. I had a five-page, article, reportage from one of our hospitals, the Bethany hospitals, they're still connected to the Methodists, but they're foundations, so they're on their own, you know. So I had, and I met a lot of people, talked to them. I was there a whole day. And then you write so much, and then when you come back and you send it to them, and you tell them, this is not a hostile. I want to tell your story the best I can. I will send you the PDF of everything so that you can see it, how I present it. I will treat it with respect. And then when they send it back, and you know they have two little facts that they straighten up, and everything else is okay.
Yeah,
and they're just like, wow. That was amazing.
Yes, and you're hearing a lot of the good news, right? You're hearing a lot of the good things that are happening. Yeah. Where is the church? Where do you see places of growth, of excitement?
Oh, we have several places with growth. We have some congregations in the southern part of the country and also in the northern part of the country. There was one story we shared on the UMC News about a congregation in Hammerfest, which is the northernmost United Methodist congregation in the world.
Oh, wow.
And that's a pretty, that's far north. So, and they were, for like 10, 15 years ago, they were like just a handful, almost nobody left. And they were discussing, it's time to close it down and give it a rest and not trying anymore. And then there was one guy stood up, Professor Borgen. He said, well, we can't do this. And he held this fiery, you know, speech in the annual conference. And okay, we'll give it another year. And then the people that was left, they said, well, we want to give it a try too again. And then there was a couple of people moving there. And today there something happened. They started to attract new people through their work, and especially for young people and families with children. Yeah. And now they're a vibrant church. Of course, there's not many people there. You know, these are small places, so it won't be, you know, Kansas City style congregation in Norway. So there's small congregation, but there's a lot of life, and there's people are blessed and meeting God through the congregation, and I think that's amazing. So I'm going up there again and to meet them again and make a new story about them, because it's they're moving forward. So, and we have some of those also.
Yeah.
So, of course, there are small congregations that's struggling, and we've had to close down some of them. But I think we're going to live on and continue to be a witness to God.
You and I spoke at lunch the other day, and you were talking about how in Norway, the government provides a really strong social safety net.
Yeah.
Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Like,
well, we have a very strong social network in Norway. If you, let's say, you lose your job, you get from the government the same pay that you had for 1 year until you can get another job. We have full healthcare and social security, so you don't pay anything almost. Maybe like if you're in a heavy cancer treatment, like $100 or something, you know, it's not much.
Wow.
So, and that's for everybody.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. And so lots of churches reach out and meet those needs. Like in the United States and elsewhere, they're really concerned about health issues and they're really concerned about how does the church in Norway kind of connect with people? Are there different kind of ministries that you guys are involved in?
I think that traditionally, before we had several, the small Norwegian Methodist Church, they started three Bethany hospitals in Norway.
Wow.
Because there was such a need for it. That was before universal healthcare. So, but then the state came in and took care of it. And for example, for homeless people, their programs to get them homes and, you know, that kind of thing. So maybe we for a while got a little bit lulled in because we lost some of that need to attend to these people. Maybe we got a little bit too introvert as churches. Mm-hmm. And we have had to rediscover how we're going to make a difference in our local societies. And I think that this, there's several new arenas. A lot of churches are connecting with the 12-step people, the AA.
Yes.
And it's got something called, in Norwegian, sinsro, about a peace of mind services, mm-hmm. which is kind of a mixture of a service and AA meeting.
Oh.
So it's especially for AA people and people with dependencies, whether it's gambling or alcohol or drugs or, yeah.
Yeah.
And one of our congregations, that's another interesting story from Harstad, which is also in the northern part of Norway. They were down to three people, three adults.
Oh.
And what are we going to do? And they decided also, we're not going to give up. They were so close. And they reached out to the AA community and they started this peace of mind services. And they slowly built a new congregation, in fact. So, and there's a lot of people there and people that really needs foothold in life and new social arena. And I think that's one of the things that we can be of importance in the society. Mm-hmm. Many of the material things are taken care of, but the human resources is really needed. There's a lot of lonely people, people with that addictions and that kind of things. So we're working on that. So.
Yeah, no, and I like hearing that because a lot of times we think as one, two, or three people, there's mm-hmm. not a lot we can do. But I've heard mm-hmm. you say a couple of times,
yeah.
you've had churches that are down to a handful of people,
mm-hmm.
and they regain their vibrancy yeah. by finding places to meet people where they are.
Yeah. And I think the key here is that these people, they kind of see that we've got nothing to lose. And they use, they're willing to use their whole life. They're not normal people outside of the church or jobs and then Methodists in the churches.
Right, okay.
But they use their social networks and they invite people and they, you know, I want to be a Methodist in a church, you know, all through, you know, use every part of my life. And that's those people are really making a difference. You can't do this halfway. When you're just down to two, three, four people, you have to go in with everything.
Yeah, and there's something mm-hmm. about that whole life thing mm-hmm. that really makes a huge difference. It really changes yeah. the way we approach our faith. What do you think? You have the state church mm-hmm. that you were talking about that I imagine draws mm-hmm. people because they're used to it. It's kind of part of the culture. Is that correct?
Yeah,
or?
Yeah, they're. They've had a kind of a monopoly on the life rituals, you know, baptism, confirmation,
yeah.
and weddings and burials.
So what does it look like to be a United Methodist in Norway?
Maybe I shouldn't say it, but we're kind of proud of being Methodists. You know, we feel that we have something in our lived theology mm-hmm. That when we talk about it to other people, you know, they, that sounds really interesting, you know, and it's kind of fresh. You know, it's not like in England or in the United States where there's a Methodist on every corner, you know,
right.
and where they kind of compete against each other. You know, our thing is that Methodism, what is that? They don't know, so they have to ask, and they often ask, what's the difference between the state church and Methodism? So you kind of live in, as I say, in the shadows. These days, it's not a negative thing. It kind of gives us we're kind of an alternative. I know that a lot of Lutherans they would really like to kind of merge with the Methodist Church, you know, because
oh, wow.
they see themselves that but that's really what I'm thinking, what I'm feeling, you know.
Yeah. If someone asks you what's and just putting you on the spot, so forgive me, but if someone were to ask you what's the difference between, mm-hmm. you know, kind of the state church and the Methodist church, well, mm-hmm. how would you introduce them to Methodism?
For the first thing, the Methodist church could never be a state church. You know, it has to have its own, it's its own master. God, Jesus, is the head of the church, not a king or a government or, you know, politicians, you know. So we could never be that.
Right.
And of course, the state church is a Lutheran church. We're in a different tradition from the Anglican church. Mm-hmm. So we have a lot more from, maybe a lot more common with, for example, the Catholic Church and the thinking from the East Orthodox Church. You know, there's some really exciting things going on there.
Yeah.
And when you listen to John Wesley's preaching, you know, there's some really radical stuff in there, even for today.
Yeah.
When you talk to young people today and you tell them about the salvation for the entire creations with animals and bird, everything, you know,
yeah,
they kind of, whoa, you know, that sounds kind of green.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we got something there. And of course, you have the baptism. And in the old days, we said that the Lutheran Church, they baptized people to let them become God's children. We baptize them because they are God's children. And of course, it's oversimplified.
No, but I really like that. That's
yeah,
yeah,
yeah. And of course, and I said, we never have emergency baptism for infants because, well, unless the parents want it and it gives them a peace of mind, then of course we would do it. But it's not because we're afraid the child would, you know, be out of God's grace. And prevalent grace, is that the right
word? That's right.
Yeah, it's amazing. The more you get learn about this, that principle, it just fills you with a gratefulness to God, that it gives you an aspect of your faith and the life that I think the others haven't seen that part that strongly.
That's an attractive piece, I think, to people who are, you mentioned AA before, or those 12-step groups.
Yeah.
That's an attractive piece to say, you haven't messed up so badly that you're outside of God's love for you.
Yeah.
And the way we understand prevenient grace or the grace of God is that all of us are under God's grace and God's love. Then God's always calling us and drawing us out. Yeah. So, wow, what a great witness to the work of God in the world.
I love those kind of questions. So when you get to talk to people, you very quickly get into, after a very short while, you feel that your brain kind of lets loose, and then it's your heart that speaks.
Yes.
You know what I mean? You feel that you have this fire in you, and it's just, it's amazing. So you kind of, can I talk to somebody about my faith, you know?
Yeah.
Because you want to experience that. And I think that when I see other people, I think that shines through you. They feel that this is something that you really experience.
So clearly your work in the United Methodist Church is not just a job for you. This is something
No. this for me, it's a calling. I grew up in the Methodist Church. My father is a minister, and he was a DS. And he's retired now, but my parents gave me such a wonderful gift of faith. They were never afraid of letting me doubt. I have questions. Nothing was out of bounds. So I could ask questions about everything. So, and of course, I rebelled at sometimes, you know, but
sure.
That also meant that when I became a Christian or a sentient, you know, that it was a decision at a youth camp when I think I was like 14 or 15. So that was my own decision.
Right.
And it gave me since I've been allowed to question everything, I'm not afraid of questions at all. I find often questions interesting, exciting, when people question my faith or doctrines and things. How interesting, let's talk. And so there's room for growth. And when you meet people and when you interview people, you always learn something.
You're always learning something. I've learned that doing this, to getting to talk to so many people, and I get to learn so many things, like learning about the church in Norway that I knew very, very little about before talking to you today.
Yeah.
What's something that you do? Like, how do you maintain your spiritual walk? What are some of the things that you do that help you to grow as a person of faith?
I'm so privileged. That's the main thing. My work is within the church, so I kind of live my faith. in my office, it's okay. You know, we can, if there's something, we pray together. We have an open, a very good relationship. So it's very much part of my everyday life. And of course, when I visit, I visit a lot of congregations. And when I'm able, I'm always taking part in their services to experience how they have their services. And I get to take part with a whole heart. I'm not the kind of person who goes into a room and kneels and pray for loud for myself for 8 hours. But, you know, I have this, I call it conversation with God almost constantly. He's there. He's always there. And, you know, and that's very important to me. And then, of course, if I'm down, I have a couple of things that always, you know, set me straight. With places where I meet God, and that's in the blessing, when the minister had, you know, what you call it when he...
At the end of the service?
Yes.
The benediction?
Yeah, the benediction, yeah, thank you, yeah, thank you. Thought, okay. Yeah. And the Holy Communion. Mm. But those two places, when I listen to the words, texts, and in the night when Jesus was betrayed, you know... Yeah. And at those places far away I've been and, you know, down, then God kind of picks me up and says, hello, this is for you. You know, and that's amazing.
Yeah.
So you get to kind of resting in the promises that God has given you and that you see through your life that it works.
Mm-hmm. Can we talk a little bit about prayer? Because I really mm-hmm. like what you just said, because I've run into so many people who would say, I'm not very good at prayer because mm-hmm. they can't do 8 hours on their knees. Like, you know, we have these wild expectations of what prayer is. And that's, but I really like the way you just described it as this constant conversation, this constant awareness of God. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah. I think, you know, we've all been created by God. And we're so different. I said that there's a reason why there's a Pentecostal church and a Lutheran or a Methodist church and all the things in between. But sometimes it's you need to stand on the tip of your toes on the chair and you just, whoa, scream, you know. And then other people, they like to sit and fold their hands and thank you, God, in a more quiet way. So I think there's not a way to do it, one thing that's correct, because God has put something in you, a way to connect with him. So for me, it's always been this sighs to God, you know, it's on, please help me, or a kind of a conversation. Of course, it's not like all the time.
Right.
That would be quite disturbing.
Yeah.
When you're in the shop trying to pace, and, you know, you're there when you do something. But in between, sometimes there's a calm conversation with God. And maybe it sounds strange, but I always felt that he's present. I'm not trying to make myself, I'm not a special person at all. Yeah. Those moments are my time with God.
Yeah, I don't hear you saying that it's like a special thing, but I hear you saying that it helps make you aware of God's presence kind of in the everyday life stuff. And I so like that. There were two quick scriptures that came to mind really quickly as you were talking. One was you talked about the sighs. Mm-hmm. And there's that scripture that I know one of the translations says that when we don't have the words to pray, the Spirit prays for us in sighs that are too deep for words.
Yeah.
How comforting is that when we can't even figure out how to put it into words? And the other was where Paul says, pray without ceasing. Mm-hmm. And that mindfulness, that part you're talking about just being aware of God's presence, where it doesn't distract you from the conversation with the shopkeeper, but it also makes you aware that God's present, even in, you know, buying your groceries or whatever it is that day. Yeah.
And then, of course, other people won't notice it because, you know, if you're having a semi-loud conversation with God, they would look at you as pretty crazy.
Yeah.
So it's something between me and God. Yeah, of course, I in the church or at the office or something, we pray loud.
Thank you for allowing me to ask you these questions about...
Oh, it was a pleasure.
That was Carl Anders Ellingsen of the United Methodist Church in Norway. To learn more, go to umc.org/podcasts and look for this episode. As always, we've put several links on the episode page for you to explore. And while you're there, check out other episodes of Get Your Spirit in Shape and links to other podcasts by United Methodists that you might enjoy. If you have a moment, we'd really appreciate a good review on Apple Podcasts. Good reviews move us up in searches and help people find us. Thanks for listening. I'll be back soon with another conversation to help keep our souls as healthy as our bodies. I'm Joy Avino. Peace.